that the first match has been completed. And as far as Qurabaqara is concerned, no individual can deny that Qurabaqara would affect a person more than any other surah in their life. The reason why it affects us more than any other surah, according to the rules that are derived in Sharia for our practical use, Qurabaqara, whether it's transactions, laws pertaining to marriage, divorce, relationship between Muslims and non-Muslims, Muslims and Jews, Muslims and Christians, Muslims and those individuals that choose not to believe, for example, like the Mushrik, as far as how to spend one's wealth, where to spend one's wealth, upon whom to spend one's wealth, how to live with one's wife, how to interact with one's family, everything is found in as far as Surah Baqarah is concerned, it is seen in it. So if an individual reflects upon Surah Baqarah, they will gather tremendous amount of benefit regarding their everyday life. Also, Ibn Kathir makes very beautiful mention that as far as Surah Baqarah is concerned, if a person recites it, it can get away from the individual, or that individual can have moving away from him for evil. And everybody has something negative that surrounds them, and the continual reciting of Surah Baqarah, inshallah, will minimize the negative effect of evil that are negative around them. But before we talk about Surah Baqarah, we read what is known as the Quran itself says that there are seven often repeated ayahs. And among those seven often repeated ayahs is the Surah Fatiha. As we know from authentic hadith, that this surah is so powerful that once some sahaba were traveling and an individual happened to be sick. And this leader was sick. The people around him did not know how to go about curing him. And this sahabi read the Surah Fatiha on this given individual. Why? Because he realized the value of Surah Fatiha. Today we read it over and over, but the reality of Surah Fatiha has not really entered us. And one thing we can rest assured upon, if you understand the first word of Surah Fatiha, your problems in life will become resolved. When you look at the word, for example, Alhamdulillah, forget the first word, the first two letters, Al. Any individual that studies basic Arabic knows that when the word Alif Lam comes anywhere, it is going to now show greater emphasis on the word that it is part of. So the word Alif Lam, for example, has many different phrases, many different things that are linked to it. One of them is Dira, etc., etc. Meaning that the Alif Lam is such, the word Alif and the Lam, when it's joined with Alhamdu, it becomes Alhamdu. The Alif Lam is saying the following: every type of praise, that means any praise that exists in this world, it does not exist for you and I. Alhamdulillah. Every praise exists for Allah and Allah alone. And if we look at the problem that we have in life, whatever the problem is, it is linked to why is that person not respecting me? Or why must I respect that individual? That's how you live your life. Why did he say that to me? Because he said that to me, I have to do this. What are you doing with your life? You are moving focus. Focus from Allah to now humanity. So praise comes generally in two ways. One is I praise you, or the other is I seek praise from you. And if I don't get praise from you, then there's a certain way I behave with you. And if you don't get praise from me, then there's a certain way you will begin to interact with me. Alhamdulillah. It says here, understand full well, every type of praise that ever existed, ever exists, or ever will exist, lillah, is for Allah. Why for Allah? Now Allah is making it clear, Rabbil Alameen. Because Allah is the Lord of the universe. What are you the Lord of? Your house, your car, your business? Not even your wife and kids at times. That's what Allah is saying. Allah is saying, I'm not just the Lord of the universe. I mean, meaning just your planet Earth. I'm the Lord of the entire universe, meaning whatever is part, whether it's Earth, whether it's Pluto, whether it's Jupiter, whether it's Jupiter, whatever it is. Allah is saying, I am the Rabb of anything and everything that ever existed, ever will exist. Thereof Allah says, now that I have set the template of bringing it into your understanding, that I am the creator, don't think I'm like you. When you say that I am this, thereafter you say, now there are policies that are going to be instituted. What we say, I'm so and so. I'm the president of the company, and now because of that, I'm going to do dividing, etc., etc. Allah, I don't do that. Once I establish, I am worthy of every praise, and I am worthy of every praise because I am the Lord of the universe. Immediately, Allah says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Imagine the tone changes. I'm the most compassionate, most merciful. I'm not the owner and wanting all praise because I want to exploit you. I'm all that because I love you. I have mercy towards you. I've given you a lot. Even though when you worship me, I continue to give you. Even though you don't worship me, whatever the combination of worship, faithful or unfaithful, I'm still kind to you. But don't take my kindness for granted. Why? Malik Yawmiddin. Because I am the master of your judgment. If you misperceive me, I will take you to task. Now what is your duty? Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Your duty is to worship one Allah and to seek assistance in one Allah. Because if you don't understand the value of worshipping one Allah, you will worship people. And you will seek your assistance in people, and people will have you running around and around. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Then you make dua here where you say, Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. What is the straight path? Straight path is the path of the one that Allah has given His favor upon. Is it now? What type of favor? That it is good, that it is peaceful, that it is loving. And it's also a favor from Allah to us that He has given us the Kitab of Allah and giving and has given us this religion to follow in a manner that is non-polluted. And what type of path must we follow? Follow that pathway that is inclined towards good, not that pathway upon which Allah's anger has come upon, and take us away from those individuals that have been inclining themselves towards every type of deviation. And for that, of course, we say, Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And as far as Surah Baqarah is concerned, there is so much that we have covered, and we keep it very, very brief. Key phrase, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Anything that we learn today, it is the following. This is such a book which there is absolutely no doubt. And the accepting will give the one that is pious. Allah will say, well, then guidance for that is Muslim. Guidance for that individual that is mu'min, etc. Allah says, guidance is for the one that has taqwa. That means if you don't have taqwa, you will gain knowledge. You will gain everything. But you will not gain taqwa. Taqwa is the ability to think right, feel right, act right in every given situation. Then Allah subhanahu makes it clear, one of the attributes of a believer is, they will believe in the unseen, life after death, angels, etc. Establish salah, salah on its correct time. Our teacher used to say, very beautiful to us, all of you are studying, you should say, you are becoming alim, you are becoming hafaz, everything. But I guarantee you, the day you go home for holiday, your fajr salah is gone. Your fajr salah is gone. So one boy said, no, I like my sehri. He says, okay, you like your sehri. Your sehri will perform your fajr salah. The day Eid comes, the day after Eid, I want to see what happened. When the class began, the following semester, we went back home. The first question the teacher asked his boy, so how was your fajr salah? The teacher said, Ustaz, you got a jinn. So why you say that? How do you know I was missing my salah? So I made this prediction a long time ago when we read the tafsir of this ayah where it says the following. Establish salah, and the most difficult thing to do is to perform salah. Thereafter, the ustad said, the reason why we go into detail with this given ayah is because of the following. For a munafiq, salah is the most difficult thing to perform. For a hypocrite, salah is the most difficult thing to perform. So Allah is starting the Quran by saying, O you who believe in the unseen, and take salah to be something very, very serious. It will help you stay away from evil, and help others stay away from evil as well. Of course, thereafter, we talk about the Bani Israel, and Allah SWT makes it clear that they made a lot of mistakes, and as a consequence of their mistakes, and not just their mistakes, their persistence on their mistake. What is you make a mistake and thereafter you make a step back? Here they made mistakes and they said, Samirna, we hear wa asayna, but we won't really follow you. We'll be disobedient. And we say, Samirna wa ta'ana. We listen and we will follow. So Allah SWT talks about the Bani Israel for one purpose, to teach us on how we must not become adamant on wrongful behavior. Thereafter, there is the story of the cow, the lesson of the cow, Allah SWT made Musa alayhi salam say the following, that tell the people, slaughter a cow. Instead of going to slaughter a cow, he's going to ask every type of person, what color, what type, what age, etc., etc. We as Muslims, that's not our duty. When we are told to do something, it's our duty to do it. Because once you get into this debate, why the color is not like this, why the carpet is not like that, why do you believe this way, why do you keep your hand like this and not like that, when you start asking too many questions, قِيلَ وَقَالُ وَقَسْرُ السُّوَالِ قِيلَ وَقَالُ وَقَسْرُ السُّوَالِ is also mentioned, the given hadith, as it refers to these given ayah, that individuals were destroyed in the past, nations were destroyed in the past for one reason, because he said, she said, and they asked too many questions. Two things they did. He said, she said, was one problem they had, and the second problem was they had the habit of asking too many questions, questions that were not related. That's why when you're doing any, for example, one of the things they teach you in answering questions is the following. Don't ask too many questions because you eventually will make the bread you are eating haram. And I mentioned this every year, if I'm not mistaken. Some people say, well, what's in the bread? Where is the bread made? How is it made? Why it says this? Why? Eventually you can't eat bread. Then they go into milk. Then they can't drink milk. Then it just continues. So the hadith says very clearly that don't try to dominate religion. If it's allowed, go for it. If you have shirk, abstain from it. But don't ask too many things regarding it. Because eventually it will become haram, and then when it becomes haram, you won't be able to follow it. Your children will begin to say, what is wrong with my dad and father? What's wrong with my dad? What's wrong with my mother? And eventually you will see many times the children of these religious people, they are in rave clubs and having a crazy time. Why are they having a crazy time? Because their fathers, once upon a time, their mothers, once upon a time, their uncles, once upon a time, their imams, once upon a time, was trying to strangle them, was trying to make everything difficult for them. So this ayah is saying, don't ask too many questions. This is the second lesson from this. And the second lesson from this is, if you ever want to see conflict in life, you will see between uncle and nephews. This ayah makes mention of that. The conflict in your family, generally, is not from an outsider. It's between your uncle or between you and your nephews. And this ayah is saying, these are alluding, do not let money become a thing that divides your given family. Do not let money become the thing that divides the family, as has happened in these given ayah, as it is mentioned in the various ways. Thereafter, of course, read what the Shaytan, here they talk about sihr and magic. The Quran says the following: magic is done primarily for one purpose. It sums it in the following by saying, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِينَ بِمِنْ حَدْءٍ إِلَّا بِإِذِ اللَّهِ. Before that, حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكُنْ فَيَدْعَلْنَا مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. That one of the leading reasons people take part in magic is because they want to destroy husband and wife. Number one. Number two, they want to destroy that girl so she doesn't get a husband or wife, or destroy that guy so he doesn't enjoy his time with his wife. Once you understand why people do magic, now you're able to conquer that. So when you see these crazy thoughts between your wife, or between your husband, or between family members, understand the Quran already said why it's going to take place, and what's one of the underlying factors behind it. So inshallah, may Allah prevent us from it, read to the Fatiha, blow yourself, blow your families, etc. Then the Quran talks about وَلَمْ تَرَضَ عَلَمْتَ الْيَهُودِ It's given ayah, inshallah. And as far as the Jews and Christians are concerned, you are going about and you're trying to please them. I must get that Jewish guy in my mosque. I must get that Christian guy in my mosque. So people can see how diverse I am. We all are into that struggle. It's a struggle of the modern-day Muslim, modern-day religious people. The struggle is, how can I win that Jewish guy over? How can I win that Christian guy over? Understand full well, you will not win generally a Jewish person over. As far as them converting from our religion we learn, very few of them convert. Many of them will not convert. And as far as they are concerned, Jews and Christians, وَلَنْ تَرَضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَالْنَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Jews and Christians, وَلَنْ, it means never. They will never ever be pleased with you until you follow them. So even if you are a weak Muslim, what do you call this jack Muslim or whatever, they come up with new phrases, new times, eventually it doesn't matter what type of Muslim you are. So long as the kalima remains on your tongue, they will never ever be pleased with you. So the Quran is saying, you be firm on what you are supposed to be doing. And let them do what they have to do. And of course, you must be polite to them, nice to them when it is necessary, and thereafter, move on and do not be taken by them beyond that which is necessary. Work you do, and after your work is concerned, you move on. Final ayah, Sibghat Allah. Now this is the beautiful ayah to end with. The Qadar of Allah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ سِبْغَةً لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. The color of Allah in reality is on every individual that does good. And when you do bad, there will be a darkness that will present itself from you. The most beautiful color that we can find is the color of Iman, the color of character, the color of goodness, the color of good behavior. The Quran says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ شِبْغَةً. What is more beautiful than the color of عَابِدُونَ, the color of that individual that worships Allah in the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands. Now it is the month of Ramadan. And you notice that individuals that sometimes you had a nafrat, a dislike towards, all of a sudden they don't look as bad. Why? Because they are fasting. They are giving up sins. They are performing more salah. They are controlling their anger. They are being nice to one another. They are not being judgmental. They are not letting little things interfere in their mind by creating unwanted thoughts. Many individuals are destroyed not by negative actions as much as they are destroyed by negative thinking that become negative actions. Understand full well, the waswasa of shaitan is called waswasa for a reason. It's those thoughts that go through you. Those thoughts become a reality in your mind. When they become a reality in your mind, you start blurting out things. Once you start blurting out things, they become action. Once they become action, you end up losing the color of Allah, the color of an abid, the color of a true believer. So what is the color of Allah? The color of Allah is each one of us must ask ourselves before we do whatever we need to do, what does my Allah expect of me? Especially this month. And second, we have to ask ourselves, if you are doing wrong, why am I doing wrong this month? The shaitan is locked up, we understand that. So it is our nafs. And if we put our nafs right, our desires right, inshallah, this month, then the following months, inshallah, will become beautiful for us. May Allah help us, and that is all.